This is a spiritual reading being given for Tanya Camilleri on Saturday, the 20th of April 2024 in Victoria, Australia, by John Ross. We stand within the hall of memories. The scroll of life is given into our hands, and the scroll, Tanya, is a metaphor. It represents a record, the record of all your incarnations since the soul first entered the physical realm hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. And it's these experiences from life to life which have made you who you are today. And within the scroll of your life is contained the reason that you first came into incarnation and what happened to your original purpose and how this particular life is working out the higher purpose behind all the events and interactions that you experience. Now, as I start to unroll the scroll, it opens to the very first page, and on this page is a name and an image and a colour. And first of all, the colour, which colours the whole page and indicates something of the essence of the spiritual worlds where you originated, the colour is purple. And purple is a combination of red and blue. So it's a combination of life force, which is red, and the need to embrace life and to be part of it, combined with blue, which is the mystical, spiritual element of life. And these two actually don't get along together very well. And even when they mix together in terms of purples, it creates a bit of an inner dysfunction from life to life. Because the soul experiences being in the world and having to be in a body, having to have relationships, family, work, earn money, sort things out with friends, experience health problems, all the sorts of things that we know. And yet there is a part of you that says, this is not who I am. I'm not all this. And for you, this is an awakening incarnation. We don't always have these. Sometimes people go through life quite happily without ever even thinking perhaps that there's anything more than living in the physical, material world and being concerned, rightly so, with physical, material things. Sometimes people go through lives. In fact, let's be honest, at least 90% of people go through life like that. But perhaps there's 10% who enter into incarnation with the option or the opportunity of a complete turnaround within life, where they suddenly realize that they're not on an earthly journey at all. Well, they are on an earthly journey. They're a spiritual being on an earthly journey. And I think this is the core of this incarnation for you. And perhaps this doesn't seem very relevant at present, but I think I can promise you that it will become more relevant in the next 6 to 7 years. So, the purple. Well, the purple is the colour of the mediator. And if you have it in your aura, then you'll be involved somehow in some sort of function where you connect other people. And you connect them to goods, like someone in retail, or you connect them to financial needs, like an advisor, or you connect them to their own inner needs, like a psychologist or a therapist. It used to be the colour of the priest, but since priests have gone out of vogue now, it's more often expressed through other occupations. So that's the colour, and that means that is your soul colour, that from life to life you have to grapple with this particular character of the soul. The soul will seek to mediate. Then the second aspect of your soul book is the image. And the image is an eagle descending from afar. And the eagle is a very significant symbol because it represents the spirit, the higher self. And the third aspect of the book is the title, which is, as I see it, at present it says, "The One Who Descends from on High." And I'm telling you all this because it's a background to the soul. What we're seeing here is the origins of the soul in the high spiritual worlds. That's why the symbol is the eagle. The soul descended from one of the higher spiritual levels of existence when it came into incarnation. And it came in as a messenger that the birds are symbols of messages from the gods, from the higher spiritual beings, from the Godhead, if you like. And the eagle is a messenger from the highest of the spiritual worlds. And the message that it brought to the souls then in incarnation was, remember where you came from. That's all, just remember where you came from. And your purpose there was to awaken the souls who'd been in incarnation much longer than you. You were relatively recent in terms of coming into incarnation. You came in to remind the souls that had got caught up in physical existence that they were not from this world, but they were from a higher world. And even today, perhaps you're working with souls and you're reminding them of something higher. You're reminding them that they come from something else. And perhaps you're helping them remember a little bit more of who they are or who they were perhaps in this life. And yes, I can see that you will change your occupation as time goes on. And opportunities will open up for you in the next 6 years. We'll come to that later. So, the action of the soul from life to life is to try and connect, reconnect with the spiritual worlds, and to try and be that messenger again. Let's open the scroll up to the current incarnation. And here on the right hand side is a picture of the soul. And the soul depicts itself in the colors of the aura, because the colors of the aura are the energies generated over many lifetimes that are there for the soul to use when it comes into incarnation. And the first color, which is going to have a dominating effect on your life, is light rose. And the second color is brown. The third color is green. There are blues from the shoulders. There are deeper reds around the throat and the heart, gonads areas. Browns around the hands, deeper browns around the feet. Purples within the head, and the vortex orange. The influencing colours as we see them at present: above the head, light blue. And below the feet, light reds, sort of like a color of a brick, a red brick. The symbol of the over-self, as we see it at present, and the symbol changes as the soul's incarnation progresses and develops. But the symbol that we, as we see it at present, is of the individual sitting at a spinning wheel in a tower, spinning, taking the fleece from left hand side, feeding it into the spinning wheel, and feeding out a thick thread from the other end. And that indicates symbolically what you are doing in life at present, and will give us a clue as to where you should go from here. And there are other symbols in the aura which we may talk about later. Now, on the left-hand side of this incarnation, the soul has a communication. And the communication is in words, and the words, it's a little verse, as I see it. And the title is To Descend From On High. And you may recall that is connected with the actual soul name, so that in this incarnation you should reconnect with the soul's purpose from its original entry into a body. So this is a very important incarnation for you. And the verse reads, to descend into forgetfulness. To take on the body of clay. And the third line says, to remember. So I'm going to repeat that for my own benefit, because we'll come back to this. But the first line says, to descend into forgetfulness, to enter into the body of clay, to remember. And in those three lines, and the heading, is your purpose for this incarnation. And let me say that it may not at this stage sound very transparent to you what your purpose is, but believe me, it's a very important, significant purpose. We're going to examine the colours of the aura. The colours of the aura are what the soul has to work with in this life, and they are created by previous incarnations, by what you do in previous lives. And the first colour, light rose, not a very common colour as a first colour, and often a difficult colour to work with. And it's difficult because there's a great sensitivity there. You should be an incredibly sensitive individual. You should be perhaps psychic, intuitive. You could be an artist. In fact, the more you would work with colour in this incarnation, not necessarily painting pictures, but working with colours, bring colours into your life, the more you will open up your own clairvoyance and own sense of sense of inner sight. Really, you don't need to ask me these questions, apart from the purpose, perhaps. But you know the answers to these as well, already. I suspect you've already made your mind up. But that's okay. I can provide a mirror, if you like, for you to reflect on what's going on inside. So you actually have the gifts to answer not just your questions, but the questions of other people sometime. If you would just relax with people and let them talk to you, probably insights and intuitions about people would come to you. I don't think this has been a very easy incarnation for you, by the way. People with light rose are very often misunderstood. They find it difficult to meet partners who understand them. Partners, they tend to come up with partners who want to see them as being able, malleable, moldable, if there's such a word, and the partners, you tend to attract people where partnership, who have perhaps strong mental people and who want to put you in particular mental boxes. Beware of the psychologist. Beware of the one who wants to analyze. Beware of the one who wants to tell you who you are. You've probably got much more insight than they have, especially into who you are. You are at present in a transition period. When you got to the age of 49, that's a very significant age in spiritual terms, because it's the completion of the karma that you entered into incarnation to balance. And if you can imagine for a moment that you're waiting to come into incarnation, you're in the anteroom of incarnation, if you like, and you're sitting down with the Lord of Karma, who is looking at what you've decided to accomplish in this life. And the Lord of Karma has it on a spreadsheet, well, at least on a clipboard. I think it's probably a spreadsheet by now, but on a clipboard. And you've said, I'm going to meet such and such, and I'm going to balance off my karma with them, and the Lord of Karma gives it a tick, and then you say, and I'm going to write a great novel, and the Lord of Karma puts that one in brackets, and then you have down there, oh, I'm going to be a great musician, the Lord of Karma might put brackets around there, and then the Lord of Karma might say, well, what about learning to get along with people? So you say, okay, because you never say no to the Lord of Karma. And then the Lord of Karma might say, what about having a life of where you're forced to work in humble capacities? And you might not like that one either, but you say, okay, I'll go along with that. And so on and so forth, you see. The Lord of Karma likes it when you say, I'm going to work out things with people I owe karma debts to, because then the universal scribes can wipe that from the spiritual hard drive. Sorry, being facetious there. Nothing gets wiped from the Akashic record, but at least everything can be balanced in the Akashic record. So you come into incarnation, and from the age of about 29 to about the age of about 49, give or take a few years around there, your life is dedicated to working out and balancing karma with all the souls with whom you come into contact. So when you say, what's my purpose? Well, it's easy. The purpose for that time, between about the age of 30 and the age of 50, is to complete your karma. So everything that happens to you, everything you take on, your relationships, etc., 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 it's to balance out karma, to repay debts. Interesting that you had an incarnation in Mexico in the 18th century, I think. You were in a female body there, and you had a relationship with someone who was an aristocrat. Lived in, this person had a big mansion, drove in and out in a black stagecoach with a crest of arms on the side. So it may have been connected with royalty, but had a golden crest on the side. And you were working within the place, but used to go in and out, bringing supplies from the local village or the local city, the town. And you would bring things like bread and flowers in, and I won't say you were raped, but you were forcibly, it was made plain to you that unless you had sex with the Count, you needn't bother coming back. So that you had a sexual relationship which was not, what's the word, transactional in nature. The Count would buy from you, and you needed the money for your family. You were supporting a mother, a widowed mother, and a brother. I wonder where those people are in this incarnation. And in the end, you got pregnant. Of course you got pregnant, and the Count didn't have anything more to do with you, but he did give you a little sum of money and send you away to be looked after. And that relationship should have been balanced out in this incarnation. And you would know that because this person would perhaps in one sense patronize you, in another sense, want to live with you, because in that incarnation, of course, they weren't going to marry you. But in this incarnation, they'll probably be very keen to marry you, because they need to balance that on their own karmic account. I'm not sure what happened to the child in that life. That should have come into this incarnation also, particularly as someone that you care for, or perhaps someone who will come later in life and be a carer for you. So when you say, you know, you're looking at getting back together with a boyfriend, a husband, a lover, that's past its due date, really, because you have balanced your karma with that soul. Now, that's not to say, of course, that you can't start a new relationship, but it can't be the old relationship revisited or extended, because that's actually finished. So the decision that you have is really simple. What sort of relationship would I have with this person if I got back together with them? And if it's the same old, forget it. That's been over and done with. And if you went back to that, you would spend another 7 years getting out of it. So you might be better to say thanks but no thanks and move on. But of course, this is your decision. No one else can make that for you. I can show you the options and the reasons behind, but you have to be the one that says yes or no. And you're more than capable, as I've said, to answer this question for yourself. But there is, on rare occasions, an opportunity to start over again, and where you see one another in totally different lights, not as being in a codependent sexual intimate relationship as much, but rather as being able to work together and be a team, so that if there is an opportunity to work with this person and create in a business sense or a vocational sense or a career sense, that would make sense. You can see what I mean. There's a very interesting life that is still working within you, and that's a life in Egypt. About 1200-1500 years ago. Oh, sorry, no, that 1200-1500 years before Christ it would be. And here you were a king in Egypt, male body. Your name was Tutankhaten, or as it became later, Tutankhamun. And yes, that, you may well know that name. You can look it up, Google it. You died young there, and the most famous thing about that particular individual is that the tomb was rediscovered in the 19th century, early 20th century, and was filled with treasure. It's the only, probably one of the only tombs that's been found like that. But you were the king. Now, when you came into incarnation, you were the son of someone called Akhenaten. And that person changed the religion of Egypt, took it away from the worship of the old gods to worship of the sun. And in doing so, Akhenaten created a huge animosity amongst the priests of the old gods. And when you were born, the priests seized the opportunity to move against the religion that Akhenaten had created and to return to the old. And you were overruled in that lifetime. Your will was not your own. You were governed by a religious power and a political power that constrained and imprisoned you and decided your actions. So even though you were the king, your will was not your own. It was dominated by these other energies. And in this incarnation, never allow your will to be taken over by any other person, individuality, group, movement, philosophy, spiritual teacher, whatever. Because you lost, in that incarnation as Tutankhamun, you lost your individuality. And that's the most precious gift that we have. That's what makes us different from the animals. The animals share in a soul, but only human beings have an individuality. It's what makes us divine. So one of the reasons for this incarnation is to reconnect with that divine part of yourself and to strongly refuse to be drawn under the spell of an institution or of another individual. You are going to make your own way in this incarnation. You're going to find out who you are. And you're going to have help along the way. You're going to meet people who will point you in the right direction, who will acknowledge your individuality and your gifts and your talents. Still with the light rose, and have a second incarnation in Egypt. I don't know what all the Egyptian stuff is, but you seem to have a strong connection with Egypt. Perhaps you should pay Egypt a visit one day. And in this incarnation, this is about 600 years before Christ, in a female body at a place in Egypt called Abydos. And your priestess in charge of the sanctuary there. And there people would come for healing. And there was a pool, almost an artificial lake, but a pool where people could come and bathe and be healed by the goddess. And you were the sort of gatekeeper. You would say to people, yes, the goddess will heal you, or no, you've got to do other things before the goddess will admit you into her sanctuary. And you had, you were very psychic, I think that's a good word for it, very psychic in that incarnation. Bit of a shame though, because you lost that psychic ability because after a while, people started offering you a lot of money if you just let them through, and it was very tempting because the life of a priestess was most of it was very, very frugal, not much going on, and you started accepting money in exchange for allowing people to be admitted into the sanctuary. And because of that, you lost your psychic ability, you lost your clairvoyance and ability to see clearly, which meant that for a long time, many thousands, many centuries, that ability would only come out sporadically and was dangerous when it did come out, had an incarnation in France, I think, in the 14th century, where it's interesting there because you were in a female body and mentally impaired. We would say that you were not exactly Downs, but that you had a similar sort of mental condition, like a child, and you could see auras around people. And so when you were quite young, you would go around telling people things, and things about people's future would pop into your mind. And so the local priest didn't like that at all. You were pinching his parishioners, so he had you burned at the stake. Yeah, that's the way they did things in those days. Don't worry too much about a trial. This person's obviously possessed by the devil. Let's burn them. And you died in terrible pain and terrible anguish. Now that pain is still within you, in a sense. You should have met that priest in this incarnation, or you will meet them. You may well have met them already. But in this incarnation, it's the priest who will be without their mental faculties. And in fact, there's a whole group of people that you'll be dealing with who were associated with the trial and the condemnation, the villagers who were witnesses, all that sort of thing. You'll be dealing with them for a while. They are probably your dementia patients, or some of them are going to be your dementia patients. And the interesting thing is that you are facilitating their healing, which is how we heal ourselves. When we have a wound, it's not someone else who heals us. Healing has to come from within self, and it comes best by healing other people. So in this incarnation, I guess what you're doing at the moment, that you're working through that terrible, traumatic experience where you were judged, criticized, judged, condemned, and executed. And now you're making that part of yourself whole. So yes, definitely, you're going to move on in terms of your work. I think that ultimately you should have a career that demands a lot of mental focus, mental acuity, mental insight. And you would be really, really good as a psychologist, to be honest. Someone who helps people get to the root of their own problems and to uncover that which is hidden within the psyche. And it's in the uncovering and the witnessing and the conversation that healing can occur. So if you're looking for a long-term change in career, this is the sort of This is where I would see you excel. I'm going to move on now to the second color. We could spend a lot of time on that light rose, but I'll tell you about one more life from that, because it's just popped up. In the 12th century, male body, you built churches, and you you designed beautiful windows, and some of these windows may well be in churches from that time. If you visit France, you were responsible for some of the windows in the Notre Dame Cathedral, the Cathedral at Chartres in France, but also other churches that were built around about that time. So there you worked with colours. You had a gift for colour and a gift for bringing light into the architectural space. And if you think of yourself as bringing light into the world, that is very much the core of your vocation. You're going to feel edgy at the moment because you've got a lot of greens around you, which are restlessness. And when the greens are there, people think, oh, I've got to make changes. Should I get married if I'm not married? Or if I am married, should I get unmarried? Where am I living? Oh, this, I can see all the things wrong with where I'm living. Should I live somewhere else? You're going to feel like that for another year or so. And if you want to move, I would think that next year, the second half of next year probably, is you'll have a strong moving energy coming in at that stage. Halfway through 2025 and holding on 2026, perhaps even going a bit longer, there's a strong movement energy, a dissatisfaction, something that comes in and says, I'm getting out of here. And it will come suddenly. All of a sudden, the amorphous dissatisfactions that you're experiencing will all come together. There'll be probably one or two events that you'll say, no, this is it for me. I'm moving out. So yeah, I think you're likely to move. The browns are holding you. They're what prevent you from going off the deep end, so to speak. If you were just light rose, you'd be airy fairy, you'd have your head up in the clouds all the time, you'd never have your feet on the ground. But you are a grounded person in this life. You've been grounded. You've had to work hard. You've had to, probably everything in your life, you've had to work at, which is not a bad thing, really, because it develops wonderful habits and opportunities for future lives. Of course, you may say that's not much help to me now, but look at it this way: what you've created with your energies between the years of 30 and 50, those habits and forces that you've created within yourself, they can be used, they are available actually from about the age of 50 onwards. So you should be able to think things through in a grounded way and look at pros and cons. You haven't got any yellow, so to speak, in the aura, which is the discriminating, critical, analytical energy. But brown will substitute, because brown can say, and brown can be critical too, by the way, but brown will say, this is a sensible thing to do. You've got brown around the feet, that's excellent, because you will make practical decisions moving forwards. You've got brown around the hands, which means that you're good with your hands, that you will create not just in a physical sense, but in a metaphorical sense, that you should be good at arranging and organizing and making things happen within your life and within your work environment, good at organizing things for people, and seeing where people fit into with their talents and their gifts and what they're good at, and assigning them tasks that suit them. Then I have indicated the greens and the outer aura that bring this restlessness and this need to create movement within the life. But green is also a healing colour, and green is also a musical colour, by the way. So make sure that you have music around you at times, and beautiful music. Music that has rhythm and life within it. Interesting incarnation in India in about the 11th century, where you were in a female body, and there you were a dancer. Had a lot of sex in that incarnation as well. I'm not sure if that's because you were a dancer or because it was just the style of life. And you would go into the homes of the aristocracy, the Maharajas and the Rajas, and you would perform dances that depicted stories and tales, and you later in life you would choreograph troops of dancers. And in that was a good life in a sense, because there was a lot of movement. You never married in that incarnation. You were married, as it were, to the goddess, and you didn't need a male figure in your life. So you may, that may carry over into this incarnation too. You may be quite happy without a male figure within your life in this incarnation. But the dances were also to do with healing and bringing spiritual resilience and, refreshment to people. They weren't just artistic, aesthetic art forms, they were religious, spiritual exercise and expression. From the shoulders, blues. And blue, as we've mentioned, is a deeply mystical and spiritual colour. And I don't think the blues are getting a lot of exercise at present. I don't think you've had a lot of spiritual, mystical stuff going on in your life. But that's going to change in the next 15 years. You're already starting to feel the call of spirit. And that call will become stronger when you get to the age of 60. Your life is coming to a, not exactly a climax, but a very significant ending of a cycle. And that happens about the age of 57, 58. And you will find that a lot of things come together. I don't think it's probably not a difficult, a spectacularly difficult, awkward time with lots of challenges. Rather, there's a sense of recognition, and you should find that your work comes together in this life. And it's an interesting time too, because you will find relationships with people very important. You should be completing or getting together a very significant relationship in your life over that time. And that's going to happen that's going to happen about the age 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, around about then. That's a significant time of getting relationships together. The purple's inside the head. That's the soul colour, and we would expect to find it somewhere in the aura. If it's one of the first two colours, then it means that the life is dedicated to expressing the soul purpose. But if it's in the confined to a small area, as it is here, it's the head, then it's rather that one feels there is a purpose, but one finds it so hard to discover the purpose. See what it is. What should I be doing with my life? Well, first of all, you can't not achieve your purpose. It's very, very rare that a soul doesn't achieve its purpose. And your purpose is so close to you that you can't see it. It's in your head. How can you see what's in your head? But what it does is give you the ability to be the mediator. And I expect that in different aspects of your life you're seeing this already. And what I would see in years to come is that you would find that this colour expands outside the head because it's pushed out by the colour that forms what we call the vortex, which comes into the head like a funnel, and in the next 7 years will push the purples out so you can see them, and then you'll say, oh yeah, I could do that. Oh, why didn't I think of that before? Oh yes, I'm great at that. But the orange, when it comes in, orange is the vortex colour, that will bring into you to the greatest extent so far your individuality. Orange is the colour of the individual. And this is where you'll stand up in the next 7 years and say, this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do, and I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm going to do this. I'm going to express myself. I'm going to show I'm a strong, capable, independent individual. And of course, we know that you've got a lot of strength and a lot of independence already. But from here, your strengths and abilities will become more visible to the world. And if I were to make a suggestion about career, where you could go in the future with a vocation, I could see you perhaps working with people in palliative care or people at the end point of their life's journey. You could be there as a guide, as an interpreter, as someone who is able to help awaken other souls. And that brings me to, I haven't talked about the influencing colours. The light blue overhead, that's a beautiful indication that you are being looked after, guarded and blessed by the spiritual worlds at present. Even though it may not feel like it sometimes, your connection with spirit is going to grow stronger and stronger over the next 7 years. And below the feet, the reds are saying, oh, come on, get on with it, Tanya. It's time that you moved on. And no wonder you're feeling like you want to move on. You want to move on perhaps from relationships, from where you live, vocationally. You want to do all these things. And that's why, because there's a new energy entering in. There's an old saying, festina lente, which translates as make haste slowly. Yes, you are going to make changes. No need to rush. Think about it. Be considered. Always look at both sides of a question and always consider two things. How will this action affect me and how will it affect other people? So in that sense, there's strong forward movement. The verse to descend from on high, well, that's really the soul name, and it means that this is an, as I've already indicated, an awakening incarnation. It's an incarnation where you have the opportunity to reconnect with that amazing purpose that that soul, your soul, first descended with from the spiritual worlds. To descend from on high and be the messenger. So the verse says to descend and forget. To descend from on high and forget. And that's what that indicates, what you did. You came into incarnation all those thousands and thousands of years ago, and you descended with this incredible idealistic spiritual understanding and energy. And what happened? Same thing has happened to everyone else, the rest of us. You gradually forgot. And so that from then on, incarnations are a double process. On the one hand, there's the forgetting happening, and you move further and further away. But on the other hand, there's also another energy that's at work within the soul as well, and that is an urge to remember. So, in this incarnation, that first line indicates what's gone on in so many hundreds of incarnations. In the second line, to enter into the body of clay. And there is a point in spiritual development where we come to experience that the physical body is not the reality. It's a container. It contains our spirit. It contains our soul. And we are not that body. We are something much greater than that. We come from something much greater, and we will move on to something much greater at the end of this life. And the last line, to remember. And that's what's happening for you in the next 7 to 8, well, for the rest of it, this incarnation, really. It's about remembering. And there's only one thing that we need to remember, and that is who we are. And when that remembrance comes, then the awakening comes too. The symbol of the over-self shows you sitting at a spinning wheel. You're being very industrious. You're taking the fleece from one side, you're putting it up, weaving it into your wheel. You're spinning it out, and it's coming out as a beautiful, long, thick thread that's going down the stairs, and people downstairs are picking it up and cutting bits off and using it. And what this means is that you've been working very industriously to produce something in life. I think that you probably work very hard. I think you're a very conscientious person. You have a strong conscience. You feel you should be doing something useful. And there's nothing wrong with those feelings. But one day one has to stop the spinning wheel and walk across to the window. The window's high up in the tower. And there you can look out. It's a beautiful sunny day. And you can see the cows and the paddocks and the green meadows and people going about their business in the in bright colours, and they're enjoying themselves and they're going to a fair. And one day you'll say, that's enough of this work. I'm going to go and join all those people, be part of the party, and live in the sunlight. And that's what I mean by awakening. We're not bound in this world of five senses forever. There's a much greater, much brighter, much more colourful world. And I think, Tanya, you have a great capacity to assist, to help, to express compassion and to love. And all these characteristics, all these qualities, they will be given a much greater expression in the future. A much greater sense of freedom will enter your life. And when that happens, then one awakens and there is no returning to the old world. And I think in that world, you'll be a powerful figure because you'll be the bearer of the message. There is more to this world than our senses tell us. There is more than daily life. There is more than what the politicians and the business people tell us. There is something so much more, so much greater. And that's greatness is to be found in every human individual. And if you can bring that message to a few people, then blessed are you, and blessed are they. So shall it be.